Welcome to You, Me, and the Dogs, the podcast where we explore the wonderful world of dog ownership. Join me every Wednesday as my guests and I share personal stories, insights, and experiences, of course, with dogs. Today, I'm taking a stroll with Halima, who is dog mom to Maisie. And you'll know her if you follow her on Instagram on Maisie Snows. How are you?
I'm great. How are you too?
Good, good. So tell me, what is your history with dogs?
So I actually am extremely allergic to dogs. So I grew up wanting a dog, and our parents, you know, they didn't know much about which breeds we could have. So for a while we begged for dogs. We had brought one home once, and I tried to hide the fact that I was allergic, and it didn't work. And so we had to give the dog back almost 24 hours later. So I had a history of longing for dogs, basically always wanting one, but never really finding a dog that we were able to own until my dad introduced us to a Yorkie puppy when we were little. And he was my first dog, and he's still around. He'll be 13 this year. He's a very sweet boy. Dog mom duties.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, he was the first dog that I ever had. His name is Max. And he's still around. He's still doing great for his age. But I knew once I moved away from home and was on my own that I would want my own dog to raise, you know, the way that I wanted to, and do all the research and get a puppy and raise them up. And so I started looking into other hypoallergenic breeds. I didn't really know much about Schnauzers, but my partner had suggested maybe a Schnauzer because he liked their goofy little beards. So I did a ton of research to see if they were the dog for us besides just the cute beards. And it turns out they were. And she is really, in every way, I think, the perfect fit for our family. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have picked out a better dog to bring us together and get us out there trying new things.
Right.
We're really, really happy with our choice.
How was your first couple of days with Maisie?
The last time I had had a puppy was when I was maybe 12 years old. So it had been half a lifetime ago that I had a puppy. So it was really, I thought I knew what to expect. You know, you do all the research and you're like, okay, they're going to sleep in the crate or the playpen and they're going to do this. But everything took me by surprise. I feel like it's probably like having a kid in that you can only prepare so much.
Right.
And you can only do so much research, and a lot of it just is come as you go. Things are going to come up, problems are going to arise, and you solve them as you go.
Mm-hmm. In doing what I've done with like learning about dog nutrition and dog behavior and all this stuff, I feel like guilt for my past dogs, you know?
Yeah.
Because this, what we're learning now about dogs, wasn't something that was focused before.
Yeah, I totally understand that feeling. The information almost wasn't there.
Right. Do you feel guilt for your family dog first, and then like, what benefits have you seen that Maisie has that your prior dogs haven't?
Yeah, so absolutely. You know, one thing, he is very reactive. He's a little guy, but he is extremely reactive. So he is unhappy to see other dogs. And as he gets older, you know, his triggers increase. Mm-hmm. And it's really unfortunate. Uh-huh. But like you said, it's not really something that the previous generations of pet owners really knew or understood, the socialization aspect and all of the nuances of dog ownership and taking them out when they're young and getting them used to a variety of people and not going to dog parks and things of that nature. And so much has changed in terms of the knowledge. I was so young when we did get my first dog that I think that takes me away from feeling some of the guilt, because I didn't really have much of a say in the training of him. But I will say that with what I've learned through Maisie, I've been able to, I'm very close with my parents, and so I've been able to talk with them, and we've been able to make really positive changes in his life. For example, for his anxiety, we give him CBD as needed. A lot of enrichment has been brought into his life in terms of just little games and things he can play, training on walks to calm him down so he's not as reactive and he's able to get through a walk without an outburst and things like that. So with you can teach an old dog nutrition, is what I'm trying to say. So with the information that's available now, since we are so fortunate that he's still alive, we have really been able to increase his quality of life in that area. And he always had a wonderful quality of life. It's not, you know, but it's just, I feel like today we hold our dogs to a different standard, which is good. We hold our dogs to a standard of being comfortable rather than just being there.
Right.
So I want my dog to be comfortable when we go out for an outing. And I want to make sure that she's able to handle the situation that arises. Exactly. And not just with me, but comfortable. Or she doesn't need to be with me at all.
Right. So you've seen positive changes in your dog, Max.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. And, you know, I was determined to start on a positive note with Maisie. And so I did so much research before we got her, but no matter how much research you do, you can't prepare for some of the things that are going to come up. And even since I got Maisie, I've learned so much more. For example, when we first got her, I thought that dog parks were socialization. I thought that's how you got your dog to meet other dogs. And I thought it was a safe and comfortable way to, you know, socialize your dog. And so we did take her to dog parks. And I know now, not from my own experience, thankfully, we had really positive experiences at them, but from the experiences of others, I know now what kind of situations we avoided, perhaps narrowly, and how fortunate we are to have had the experiences we did. But I did see some reactivity in her as a result of on-leash greetings when she was a puppy, dog parks, and things of that nature.
Would you blame it on the dog park or?
No, not necessarily, but I will say that I didn't totally understand her body language and things of that nature. And it's sometimes hard for us to admit that we were overlooking some things that now we see so clearly when it comes to our dogs, but I wasn't understanding when she's overwhelmed by other dogs, when she notices a trigger and what to do before to keep it from escalating and things of that nature. And so I think we've just grown so much in that area and it's helped us to kind of tackle things that maybe before would have been an issue.
So do you take her to the dog park anymore or no?
No, she's very small.
Right,
so
yeah.
That I feel like is not the best idea when you have a dog this small. It really just takes one accident. She's got little spindly legs. There are dogs even in the small dog side that are bigger and stronger and faster. I noticed a lot when she was a puppy, and this was the main contribution to us not going anymore, that people would bring their larger breed dogs, but puppies, and put them in the small dog side. And so she was not physically stacking up against the other dogs that were there. And it just, so much potential for, you know, just an accident.
Exactly.
Not the fault of anyone, but even without any aggression or added.
Right, just play.
Exactly.
Just play.
And that scares me. But also, you know, depending on who you talk to and which dog trainer you visit, some are very opposed to dog parks. Some say that's okay. And the trainer that we had was of the opinion that dog parks are a no-go. And I put a lot of trust in her, and I'm glad that I did. We have seen some great results with her, and so I decided to listen to her on that one, and so we removed them. And honestly, I think that it was a source of overwhelm for her. Like I said, I was not in tune to being able to read her emotions and being able to pick up on her body language, and that was really a downfall in our relationship, especially when it came to being in settings around other dogs, so around multiple other dogs. I wouldn't register right away that she was overwhelmed. I wouldn't register right away that she was uncomfortable with the dog being as close to her or wanted her space. And then I started to kind of think, well, if I'm not registering this about my dog, I'm sure some of these other dogs, exactly, I'm sure some others aren't either. And while I know my dog and I know she's not going to get to a point where she's going to snap, I can't say the same for all of the other dogs here.
Yeah,
exactly. And so you really just never know.
Yeah. So I take him to the dog park against, well, like you said, some trainers like it and some trainers don't.
Exactly. It's definitely a personal preference.
Yeah. So, but we go early mornings, like at the crack of dawn.
It's time to go.
Yeah. And then it's always the same. Like he has his own pack, right?
Yes.
I would go when he was a puppy, kind of like randomly. And really quickly, I figured out, like, that's not a good thing. Because some people would just leave the dog there and they would be on the phone.
Yeah, a lot of that.
It's kind of crazy to think, like, I mean, would you do the same for your kid? I don't know.
But it's really true, though. And potentially, you know, the people, I think, and I talk to my partner about this a lot, people never want to think that their kid or their dog right. is capable of doing something bad, and so they don't think of the dangers that their dog could pose to others, and they almost get offended sometimes when you bring it to their attention. Yeah. But the thing is, I don't know your dog, and if you're on your phone and you're not paying attention to what's happening, you're missing out on picking up on those body language and key things that may tell you that they are uncomfortable right. and that the situation's going to escalate.
Well, the other thing that has happened to me, I don't know if it's happened to you, where Yanko's neutered and the male dog wants to either, I don't know if it's that they think he's a female or I don't know. They try to mount him. So of course, Yanko, he doesn't bite, but he
corrects.
He corrects.
Naturally.
And I have gotten screamed at.
Really?
By people. Your dog is aggressive. And I'm like, no, how would you like it if I start humping you out of nowhere? And I mean, wouldn't you do the same? Wouldn't you be like, fuck off? You know, like in human terms, this is what's happening.
Exactly.
And that's not okay.
And so, they can't speak up and say this right. is not okay. And so their way of reacting is to right. to nip. And honestly, Maisie does the same for different behaviors. She mm-hmm. is... Really, I used to think it was a bad thing. I used to think that when she asserted her boundaries in that way, because it looks scary, because they're, and like you said, Yanko's a big dog, but he is doing what he knows to do to tell
exactly.
them that he needs space.
That's not okay.
Because they can't use their voices.
Yeah.
And I used to think it was bad, you know, it looks like your dog is biting when you don't know what it is. And for other people, you know, if their dog is the target of it, it can be scary, but usually it's that their dog has crossed a boundary.
Right.
And from what I understand and from what my trainer has told me, because we saw this with Maisie, with other dogs getting too in her space.
Right, exactly.
After she's already given a warning that she's uncomfortable with the situation, they're not biting, they're setting their boundaries, and it's a healthy way for them to communicate.
Exactly.
This is what I need you to do. Right. And then also, if we ignore those things, then the next step is going to be to bite, because they have already non-assertively.
Yeah, that's like their patience.
Exactly.
Their patience. Yeah, but I don't know why it's so hard for some people to understand that.
I think it just goes back to not being able to accept that your kid or your dog is in the wrong.
I would definitely say body language is something that, like, before you get the dog.
Yeah, we should here be is taught. And it's confusing, and I'm still learning, because mm-hmm. there are things, you know, for example, with the dog showing their belly, sometimes it's an invitation to
exactly.
pet, sometimes I'm uncomfortable.
Right, it's a stress release.
Yes, and so it's very hard to pick out sometimes, especially when you're not familiar with the dog, and I think as your relationship grows with the dog, that's something you can pick up on. We have had people in the past see her and think she's cute out in public
yeah.
and just pick her up. And so
do they ask you?
No.
Oh my god.
And to me, that is just the wildest.
No,
I can't
right.
even imagine. I don't even pet somebody's dog without asking.
No.
So to physically lift her off of the ground,
right.
it makes me uncomfortable, and it makes her very uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, and then the thing is, she was reading how you're feeling, you know, like that's transferred exactly. energy.
And I can't help right, but feel no. that way. I feel it's a pretty natural, and it's a natural reaction for her to have as well. And so right. her response is often to lick people. And the first time she did it, I thought, oh, she likes this person and she's giving mm-hmm. them kisses, until I had realized that this body language is her trying to create space from right. this strange person that has just lifted her up off the floor. But I noticed that a lot of people don't know that. Right. And a lot of people think what I thought at first, this dog really likes me. Mm-hmm. They're giving me kisses. I'm doing something right.
Yeah. What do you do, or how do you deal with if someone picks up Maisie?
It's been a very long time, honestly. I have always been a non-confrontational person. Right. And so that's something that I've had to be more confrontational when it comes to her. And it's probably a good thing.
I wouldn't say confrontation. I would say advocate.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Advocate. And that is the better way to think about it, because it's not confrontational. You've just picked my dog up
right.
off of the ground.
No, I would have lost.
Yeah, I mean, but I really just try to speak up for her now. And the same with dogs kind of approaching us, whether it be on or off leash. I know what makes her uncomfortable. Uh-huh. I can see when she's already starting to feel a certain way about a situation. And I now, because of the experiences we've had together, I feel much more comfortable putting myself in between her and a person who's a little bit right. too Maisie. Slow down. And I feel much more comfortable advocating for her.
I mean, I've had opposite, right? So I think it was a TJ Maxx, and a woman, like, we're coming in the store. We haven't even, like, you know, done anything inside the store. We're coming in and she's exiting, and she starts screaming at me because he had his, like, service dog in training. That is not a real service dog. Only labs, like a pit bull will never be a service, like, but screaming. But I was like, ma'am, he's training, and any dog could be a service dog. And that's all. But she left the store screaming. I was like, oh my God.
So loud and wrong.
Right. And certain things like that have happened to us.
Yeah, they look at him and they pass a judgment.
Right.
Because of his breed.
Exactly.
And that's unfair.
Mm-hmm. A social misconception, right, on both sides. Because with Maisie, they pick her up and they're like, she's so cute.
And there are, you know, Chihuahuas, for example. People think Chihuahuas are mean dogs, and it's because they're so small and people don't respect their space. And so what else are they to do? They've probably tried to do the licking and the correcting, and we've overlooked this so many times that now they are going to bite you because you won't listen to any other signs that they are showing distress or discomfort, and you really can't blame the dog.
No,
I think what we just all need is more understanding yeah. of what they're trying to communicate to us and how they're feeling, rather than what we want from them.
Right.
It is really unfortunate, and it affects you as an owner, and it affects them as a dog too. My boyfriend used to have an American Bulldog, and she was the sweetest dog. She's mm-hmm. just so sweet, and she was a senior and extremely gentle, but we would see people cross the street.
Yeah.
When we walk her. And she, you know, they're dogs, so they don't understand things the same way we do. But sometimes, like, you can feel that they understand, you know, right. that they're being treated differently.
So how has Maisie changed your life?
Oh, goodness. First of all, discipline. She has added so much discipline to my life. I really took her training very seriously, because there are so many things that I wanted to be able to do that I always dreamt of doing with a dog. For example, traveling and, yeah. and going out to coffee shops and outdoor restaurants and doing things like this, you know, and being able to coexist alongside other dogs and other people. And so I started immediately kind of disciplining. She's taught me a lot of compassion, and that goes to, you know, being able to understand her body language and things of that nature, and really being able to connect with her without being able to speak the same language. I think it teaches you so much compassion and how to care for another creature as if it's your child, you know, mm-hmm. but it's such a different way of communicating than what we're used to in our human relationships. So it does really deepen your level of compassion. But I would say the biggest way she's changed my life is Physically, in terms of our day-to-day, I am a much more adventurous person now. I am outdoors a lot more. I used to be afraid of water, and now we go kayaking regularly, and I just, like, I've gone camping with her and things of that nature, and these are things that I never would have seen myself doing. I didn't really have any interest in my outdoor surroundings before. Even something like this would have been a once in a blue moon type of thing, and now we come to this park two or three times a week just so we can get our fix. So she's really transformed my life in that way. I'm outside so much more. I feel healthier because of it, you know. I'm experiencing new scenery and learning more about my surroundings and my environment, and then also getting to see her enjoy herself in a different way, because they really do come alive in natural settings like this.
Do you ever get told, oh wow, your small dog is trained?
Or extremely often.
Okay.
But more commonly we hear, oh wow, your schnauzer. And so a lot of people will say, and I got so frustrated hearing it, a lot of people will say, I grew up with a schnauzer and it was a terrible dog. I grew up with a horrible schnauzer. They'll say, if my schnauzer would have been like, and it's, I've heard this a couple of times when she was a puppy, and I couldn't wrap my head around it, and now I 100% know. They are extremely high drive dogs.
Right.
She is very, very intelligent. She has a lot of drive. She has needs that if I was not able to meet, she would be probably a quote unquote nightmare dog. She would be a handful. She would have so much energy and nowhere to put it. And so I think that these pets that people are growing up with that are barking at everything and balls of anxiety, it's because
energy.
they don't understand the needs that these dogs have. They don't do the research before picking a breed. And as a result, they end up with a quote-unquote bad dog. And when in reality you're just not understanding the needs of your dog, and it falls on you as an owner. It doesn't have anything to do with the dog. It has taken an adjustment. A lot of the research I did, you know, schnauzers are known as family dogs. They say that they're very adaptable, okay with children and other dogs and things of that nature. But when you do your blanket research, unless you're really a dog person and you know what you're looking for, you don't really get the words like drive and things of that nature. And I honestly, if I did read it, I probably wouldn't have even known what that meant and how that would translate into our daily life. And so after having her for a couple months, I realized she needs more in terms of activity, both mental and physical, than I'm giving her. And that's why she is not lashing out even, but why her behavior is the way that it is, because she's looking to create these games and these opportunities and things to do because her needs aren't being met. And in being able to understand that, we started doing agility together, and we do, she loves agility, and we do scent work, and we do things to give her a chance to express that prey drive that she has, so she doesn't have all of this energy and drive pinned up, you know. She's able to really live the life that her breed was meant to, in a domestic sense. She's not out hunting rats in our backyard, but I think, you know, still she's able to be fulfilled, and it shows because she's not the nightmare dog that people said the breed can be.
With all this, the things that you're saying, it's all about mindset.
Exactly. And I've noticed there seems to be a shift in mindset with newer dog owners and understanding that small dogs can be taught the same things. I look at everything as, so all of the things that we are allowed to do with our dogs are a privilege. Being able to bring her on a plane with me, it's expensive. It's $150, if not more, per way. So it's paying for another plane ticket in some cases. And there is, it's expensive in terms of time. There's a lot of training that goes into it. I have to ensure that she is comfortable in a carrier.
And
and this, she has to fit in something that can fit under the seat in front of me without really hindering me from being able to sit, you know, and I have to make sure, because she's my responsibility, that she's comfortable and she's not freaking out in a situation like this.
I think and that you're not freaking, like you're saying, it's not only the training. Then you got to prepare and you have to be there. You have to make sure they peed. And
in the airport, you know, you have to be there X amount of time early.
Exactly.
So when you factor in being at the airport early, going through security, waiting at your gate, being on a flight, it's really a lot to ask of your dog. It really is. It truly is a privilege. And so things like that, when people are abusing these privileges, for example, when people are using fake service dogs to be able to get their dogs to fly, and it's clear that this dog is not a service dog, or when people are bringing their small dogs and paying and doing what they're supposed to do, but the dog is barking and yelping and unable to handle the situation. But privileges can be taken. Yeah. And so if you are
abusing it.
Yeah, exactly. I think as a dog owner, you need to train your dog. It's part of being a responsible dog owner and a responsible member of society. The more off-leash dogs there are in places they're not supposed to be, you know, that's going to result in places that we're allowed to bring our dogs and we're no longer going to be allowed to bring them. Weekiwachi Sphinx, for example, used to be pet friendly, and they no longer allow dogs in the park itself. We love to train at Lowe's and Home Depot, and I've been before and people have like had their dogs not on a leash and just kind of like, and I've seen videos, you know, of people
not
putting
on
their
leash?
And I've seen videos on social media of people putting their dogs in like the grocery store, like not dog friendly, like grocery store carts, even though they literally say, and like Target, there seems to be a misconception that Target is pet friendly. And I just like, I feel like we all need to collectively understand what we can and what we can't do before we get certain things. Like the Home Depot thing really bugs me because this is like, it's hot outside.
We all like to take our
dogs to Home Depot sometimes, you know, to give them something to do to get out of the heat. But we really have to start treating the things we do with our dogs as privileges so that we can continue to do them.
That must be chaos because a Home Depot, like you really need to...
There's so much happening.
Yeah.
It's like, Home Depot. There's a lot of noise.
There's a lot of hazard.
Yeah, and usually there's a lot of other dogs too. I do like when I see other people with the same idea. Like I said, it's hot outside.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a great place for you to take your dog to work on tons of socialization skills without like burning to a crisp.
Mm-hmm. Really needed for them, for their well-being.
Exactly, and to make sure they're able to thrive in a variety of different settings. You know, it's hard sometimes to get your dog accustomed to different things when you don't have the access to situations to prepare them for it. Flights is one of them. You know, it's really hard. You can't really simulate being on a flight. Mm-hmm. And so there's so much training that has to go into being able to have your dog on a flight. I do remember that I had taken a flight, it was a short flight, maybe an hour and a half to New Orleans with Maisie. A couple rows back, there was a woman and her small dog, a little bit bigger than Maisie, and her boyfriend, and the dog was sitting on her lap for the duration of the flight. And I know because they are extremely strict, as they need to be.
Right.
No. If her carrier is even a hair out of place,
if he is outside, like I always
stay in your row.
He has to stay in the row. Mm-hmm.
And it's hard when your dog is large. It's really hard.
Exactly.
I've been moved because someone had a service husky, and I said, hey, I'm willing to move. She does not have enough room for her dog here. But, you know, so in this particular instance at the end of the flight, and then she made a comment that she was able to not put her dog in the carrier because she had some service dog paperwork filled out, and that I should do that so that I wouldn't have to put her in the carrier moving forward and I could have her in my lap instead, like they did with their dog. And so I think people just, they don't see how it takes away from others.
Right.
They only see the immediate benefit to themselves. The immediate benefit to themselves was that they didn't have to perhaps train their dog to be in this carrier. Don't know if the dog was able to withstand being in a carrier for the duration of the flight and et cetera, et cetera. And so you get around having to worry about any of that by BSing some paperwork.
Right. And then in the flip side of that, I would say that if they don't have the whole row, for example, if there's a third person there, and that person is uncomfortable, you just ruin their whole life.
Yeah.
Because you can't really say, hey, everyone's a dog person.
And they are absolutely not. And we have learned that. And it's hard for us, like we talked about before, it's hard for people to understand that somebody might not like your dog or your dog might be doing something wrong. But the reality of it is that owning a dog is, it's not something you can impose on everyone else. And that's another thing when it comes to like off-leash dogs and you hear he's friendly, like don't worry, not everybody is.
Yeah, not the like, the other dog is not 100%.
Or even the person, you know, like I grew up without dogs in my life and the only dogs I've ever owned have been small. So it has taken a lot of being around dogs and meeting other dogs for me to be comfortable with larger dogs. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, it really does depend on your upbringing, you know,
right.
What you're used to as a kid and what you're around as a child will definitely influence what you're comfortable with as an adult. And so if you're somebody who didn't grow up with any dogs around you, I've seen people terrified of Maisie.
Right.
And I of course want to keep her
right.
for her own safety as far away from people who are terrified of her as possible. You know, I don't want my dog near you if you're scared. Scared people
right.
are flailing
right, exactly.
and they lash out. And then I think once something happens to their dogs in these situations, these people who are like, oh, my dog's friendly.
Uh-huh.
If something were to happen to their dog, then it's...
it's everyone else's fault.
Yeah, exactly. And we, you know, unfortunately, it's something that we all deal with. And then that also goes into what I said about having a dog really being a privilege. It,
right.
it really is a privilege. We were in Switzerland earlier this year, and to own a dog in Switzerland, you have to have a permit. And I will tell you that I didn't see, there were dogs everywhere. I didn't see a single dog misbehaved.
Mm-hmm.
So there were dogs off leash, that was fine. There were dogs on leash, that was fine. But everyone was, they had an understanding because
right.
they have a different standard of dog ownership
yeah.
because it is treated as a privilege there.
Mm-hmm.
Here we see it more as a right. We all have a right to own a dog and as such, I think a lot of dogs get mistreated, you know, they, people who probably don't really want much to do with a dog in the first place, see their neighbor or their family member having dogs, or they grew up having dogs and they're like, let me have
right.
a dog. And
it's like the American thing. I don't know.
It is.
Whatever.
Yeah. It is.
Not necessarily, but yeah.
But it's seen that way. Yeah. You know, like they, for example, like presidents, we analyze whether or not
right.
our president has a dog and it's somehow...
and what kind of dog.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was talking to my mom about this yesterday. There's some dogs in the neighborhood who you don't really realize are there because you never see them.
Right.
You just see them barking in
yeah.
the window when you walk by the house
right.
and like that's how you know like a house has a dog. And I think people don't even realize that there are so many things you can do for them. Even just in the house,
yeah.
mentally, that will give them some simulation if you can't take them outside for walks for whatever reason or if you're not willing to. But, you know, it's dog ownership. We all hold ourselves to a different standard.
Right.
And we all have things that are acceptable versus unacceptable. For instance, you know, some people, they don't potty train and some people, that's
right.
like a very basic first step
yeah.
and different markers we have
mm-hmm.
That kind of dictate what kind of dog owner we want to be. We've all got our standards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you happen to have a question you would like to ask the audience? It could be anything related to dogs.
What is your standard of dog ownership? What's the standard for you when it comes to your dogs? And then how is that impacting those around you and those in your community? Because like we talked about, having a dog is a privilege. It isn't treated so much as a privilege here. It's more treated as a right, but it is a privilege. And a lot of these things we're able to do with our dogs, they can be taken away from us. And there are places that we could take our dogs now that if we don't all do our part, which is training our dogs and making sure that we're not putting them in situations that they can't handle, we may have less access to things we can do with our dogs. And so a good question to just ask the audience and ask ourselves daily is how are we what is our standard of dog ownership and how is that affecting our community and how are we doing our part by responsibly owning and raising our dogs in order to make sure that we can continue to live the lives that we want to live with them. People are training their dogs more, no matter size and breed. The perceptions will start to change.
Yeah. Or at least we hope so.
Yeah, one can only hope. And that's up to us, you know? Like, that's why I take training her so seriously. I want people to see her and know that small dogs can be kick-ass dogs and that they can be well-trained and they can do every bit of what a larger dog can do.
Absolutely. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to know more about our guests, read the show notes down below. Please hit the subscribe button if you liked us. And it would be even better if you would leave us a review. See you next Wednesday.